Pray.
Our gracious and glorious God, we do rejoice as those whom you have called out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Lord, we rejoice as those whose sins have been forgiven. Oh, Lord, that you have given us the blessing of those whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered, that you have given us the blessing of those to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Oh, Lord, how we thank you for the forgiveness, for the mercy that is shown to us through your Son, and Lord, how we are in desperate need once again of that pardoning grace. For Lord, our ways continue to wander. Lord, we continue to wrestle against the old self. Lord, we confess that our sins, they are dark, they are many, they are deep. And Lord, you alone can seek and save and purge. Lord, you alone have authority on earth to forgive sins. And so, Lord Jesus, we look to you, the Son of God, who alone has the power to speak the word of pardon. Oh, Lord Jesus, you alone have authority to forgive sins. And we give you thanks tonight that you came into this world. You are God manifest in the flesh. And that you came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would do that very work in our midst. Lord, that you would call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Lord, that you would give us to feel deeply our need for your mercy and your Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you, from your exalted position, would you, by your Spirit, give us a depth of conviction? Lord, give us a breadth of vision for your mercy. Lord, give us feet that run to the cross. Give us hands that cling to your promise. Lord, we long tonight to know that we are yours. And Lord, have you not spoken your word of promise so that we would know that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Lord, that we might know that we have eternal life. And O Spirit of God, we thank you for this riches of full assurance. Lord, that we can look to Calvary's Hill, that we can look to the manger, that we can look to the tomb, that we can look upon you seated on Zion's sacred height. And we can know that we are yours and that you are ours. O Spirit of God, we ask that you would increase our joy. Lord, that you would deepen our devotion, that you would enrich our love for you. And Lord, as we approach the end of this year and this joyous of holiday seasons, we pray, Lord, that we might look back and that we would cast the backward glance in remembrance of your mercies, in joyful expectation, with hope for what is to come. Lord, we long for your glory to be magnified in our homes and in this church. So, Lord, would you sanctify us by the truth? Lord, your word is truth. We ask that you'd pour out your Spirit from heaven and that you would not only sanctify us, but, Lord, that you would send us out as burning, shining lights. Lord, that we might sing, that we would sing the riches of redemption, that we would sing unto you, for you have dealt bountifully with us. Lord, we pray for the hearing tonight, for those who would hear not only the word preached in this room, but also those who will hear the word sung through the streets. We ask, O Lord, that you would cause those souls to hear that their souls would live. And Lord, that they would be drawn to the light of your Son. Lord, cause the name of your Son to be honored. Lord, would you exercise your reign? Would you wield your scepter? O Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, would you revive your church? Would you reform your bride? Would you purge out the stains? Would you give us a zeal and a burden for the lost? Would you make us strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might? Lord, would you sweeten and purify our homes? Would you take our children for yourself? And Lord, would you be glorified to all the ends of the earth? I bless those who are ailing physically or emotionally or spiritually. Would you be the lifter of their head and the healing of their bodies? We pray that you would be glorified in every single thought, in every single healing, in every single word and step that is taken. Forever blessed be your name, O God, the God of Israel, for you alone do wondrous things. Blessed be your glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with your glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight our text will come from Psalm 13. Psalm 13 in the Old Testament, and this is on page 574 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 13, and for a few moments tonight, we're going to consider these words where four times within two verses, this agonizing question is asked, how long? And I want you to notice what the psalmist does with those words. How long? Now, this is to the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? And how long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, and lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. There is an ancient story where in the years following the close of the Trojan War, which was the war between the Greeks and the Trojans, there was a watchman on the walls. And this watchman is longing for news. He wants to hear news of how the battle has turned. His king was the leader of the Greek forces. And here's this watchman, this servant of the king, and his eyes are straining. And what he's looking for light. And it's a scene that's at night, and he is straining his eyes, looking at the horizon, and he's waiting for light. Because he knows if he sees a flicker of light, that's news. That is news of the fall of Troy, and he's waiting for that moment. And he waits years for that moment. And so here he is, stationed on the walls, and he's looking and longing and waiting. And so this ancient story, it opens with his words, and he explains he's been waiting for years, waiting and longing to hear news of what happened at Troy. And then he sees the beacon. If you're familiar with Tolkien's stories, The Lord of the Rings, you're familiar with the scene where the beacons are lit. And the beacons, one beacon after another, this is how a message was communicated from one city to the next. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to give any spoilers. But a message is communicated through the lighting of the beacons. In this ancient story, the watchman on the walls is waiting for the lighting of the beacons. And that beacon, this light, this fire that would flame up from one station to the next. So imagine a series of fires, bonfires that are started from Birmingham to Enterprise. And it's news. And he rejoices. Because when he sees the lighting of the fire, he realizes that Troy has fallen and his king will be returning home. Psalm 13 is penned by David after he had seen the beacons. He had been waiting long, agonizingly waiting for the Lord to act. And now, on this side of the Lord acting, on this side of God showing him mercy and deliverance, now, having experienced the goodness and the deliverance of God, David, he's seen the beacons. He's seen the lighting of the flames. And so he sings unto the Lord. And I want you to see in this psalm, in Psalm 13, I want you to see how is it that you can experience true joy? How do you experience the depth of joy even in the deepest of the pits? Where do you find true joy despite misery and longing? I want you to see briefly, first of all, you vent your grief. What is the path to joy? Well, you must vent your grief. What do you do if you have been praying the same petition for years, for decades, and you are achingly longing for God to hear? What do you do? How do you find joy in the midst of those aching pains of the soul? What do? You are allowed, you are even called and invited and commanded to vent your grief. That's why he asked the same question four times within the space of two verses. He is venting his grief. We are whole beings. We are body and soul. And we are emotional beings. Sometimes our emotions soar with joy and thanksgiving and delight, and other times our emotions take a nosedive. When those emotions take a nosedive, what do you sing? What do you say? Remember, the Psalms, as Mr. Calvin put it, they are the anatomy of the soul. We are emotional beings. And the Holy Spirit knows that, and he gives you words to say. How long? How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? One thing I want you to remember, and I want you to know this before you enter into the darkness. And if you are in the midst of the pit tonight, then I want you to especially tune to what is said here in this psalm. I want you to hear this, that it's often in the deepest darkness that you experience the closest communion. It's often when sin, things appear hopeless that the Lord will draw the nearest to you. That's when you are at the end of yourself. You are tapped out with nothing left to give. It is often in those moments that He draws the closest to you. It's in the thick darkness that Moses draws near to the Lord on Sinai's height. And it's after being in that thick darkness that he descends down the mountain and his face is shining. And it's shining because he has been in the presence of the God of glory. Oh, how I pray for you that whenever you enter into the deepest, most sorrowful of seasons, that the Lord draws near to you in that darkness and he reveals his glory to you, and you emerge on the other side of those tears with your face radiant from the glory of God. We are emotional beings, and it's often in the deepest of sorrow that he reveals himself most clearly and most sweetly to you. And you vent while you're waiting. How long? This is the prayer of those who are waiting on the Lord. You see this all throughout the Bible. There is this waiting. We're called to wait upon the Lord. Psalm 130, Psalm 62, Micah chapter 7. I look to the Lord. I wait upon Him. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. Whatever your particular pain of soul or body might be tonight, you vent your grief even as you wait upon the Lord. And you are allowed to cry out to Him through the tears, and you need to sing through the tears. Because He is a God who hears. Second thing I want you to see as you journey toward joy, even in the midst of the worst of seasons. Second thing I want you to see is you seek a hearing. You vent your grief, crying out to Him, "How long, Lord?" But the second thing you do is you seek a hearing. You plead with Him. When you study the prayers of the Bible, when you learn to pray by praying the Scriptures, what do you do here? What do you see? You see this agonizing pleading with God. Look at verses 3 and 4. "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes. I am walking in the midst of the shadow of death. Would you lighten my eyes? Lighten my path?" The Psalms present a boldness at the throne of grace that we're often cautious. We're often skittish in our prayers. There is a boldness in the Psalms. There's a boldness in pleading for His kingdom, pleading for the lost. There's also a boldness in pouring out your grief and sorrow. Are you willing to be bold in your prayers through the tears? Are you willing to plead with Him? Are you crying out, willing to cry out, "Consider, answer me, light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death"? He does not fear death. He does not fear the grave. But He does not want the enemies of God to gloat. He doesn't want them to rejoice. He wants God to be glorified and honored, even by His enemies. And so He's pleading. "Lest my enemies say, I've prevailed over him." Kid, you ever been in a game where you're divided up into teams and one side wins, one side loses? That's the way it goes. But have you ever been in a game where the winners start to show off a little bit? David doesn't want the enemies of God to show off. And so he's pleading. He's crying out to him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. So what do? You seek a hearing. You seek a hearing from God. Who's he crying out to? Kids, who do you see here? Who's he talking to? He's talking to Jesus, isn't he? He's talking to God. He's talking to God. Would you consider, would you hear me? When you are walking in the midst of sorrow and sadness, you're asking for a hearing from God. God alone is the searcher of hearts. God alone, who is the one who can perfectly understand your pain, your grief? Another human being, there's only so much. We can only understand so much of what another human being is experiencing. But there is one who searches hearts, who searches the depths, who knows precisely where you need to be met. And so you seek a hearing from him. When misunderstood and misheard by fellow creatures, it's just a reminder. That is a reminder not to get upset with them, but a reminder to seek first his hearing and his understanding and his knowledge. You seek a hearing from God. Psalm 142, when David is in the cave and he feels as though no one understands him, no one hears him. Psalm 142, what does he say? You, O Lord, are my portion in the land of the living. You seek a hearing. You seek a hearing from God, and you seek that he would enlighten. Light up my eyes. Is this not what happens when you become a Christian? Your eyes are lightened. Your eyes are opened. Is that not what he is longing to see? Just as someone who is becoming a Christian, they have experienced the depth of sorrow over sin. They have known, they have felt the piercing conviction of the law. And then God enlightens. He shines the light of his favor. He shows you your sin, and he shows you the beauty of your Savior. Even so, David here, he's in the depths of darkness, and he's seeking light. Remember the ancient story, the watchman on the walls, and he is longing for the lighting of the beacons. You are waiting. You're waiting for the lighting of the beacons. And you know it's coming because the sun always rises, just as it always has. You know that morning's coming. And so because you know the morning is coming, because you know the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, because you know that first light of day will begin to creep through the sky and pop above the horizon, because you know that, you are freed to pray and to seek his hearing. How do you seek joy in the midst of the pit? You vent your grief. You seek a hearing. And then last, you sing your song. You sing your song. You sing the song of redemption. When we sing the song, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. When you sing that song, part of the stanzas, part of the lines, part of the words, they go, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. What is the theme of David's song? What is the theme of your song tonight? Even in the midst of suffering and pain, look at this. Look at verses 5 and 6. But I've trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing. Why do we sing the songs of redemption through the streets from house to house? Well, because he has dealt bountifully with us. He has given us richest of favors and blessing. I will sing to the Lord, verse 6, because he has dealt bountifully with me. You sing your song. Our song kids, what sort of song do we sing as Christians? How would you describe it? Is it not a song of trust? When we do not know what to do. Okay, there's an Old Testament king who prays that way. His land is being invaded by this enormous horde of enemy soldiers. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this Old Testament king, that's how he prays. When we know not what to do, our eyes are upon you. It's a song of trust. That when you do not know the end, you do not know the timing, you do know that he is good. And just as Abraham had not received the fullness of what was promised, but he had been persuaded of those promises, and he saw them afar off, and he confessed that he was a stranger and pilgrim on the earth, even so, you and I, as we cry out, "How long, O Lord?" as we seek a hearing from him, we sing our song of trust. And we stake our all, everything we are, everything we have, we stake everything on his word of promise. Despite the dire circumstances around that threaten to sink the ship. It's a song of trust. It's a song of joy. Did you notice that? How would you describe his song in verse 5? My heart shall rejoice. He rejoices. His soul is radiant with what God has done. Do you not joy in what he's done? Oh, that you've experienced. Have you not tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Y'all, we are in the middle of a culture, a society that is full of cynicism, malice. Where do you find true joy? Do you not find it here in Christ? I will sing unto the Lord. I will rejoice in his salvation. There is no sweeter joy. There is no greater, more fulfilling message that you will hear than that there is a perfect redemption that has been worked out by the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. Psalm 13, does this not point you to Christ, the one who is a man of sorrows? What a name for the Son of God who came, who ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You sing Psalm 13, and when you do so, you are singing through the tears, rejoicing in what Christ has done. You are singing in union with Christ who suffered on your behalf. If there was any man who's ever lived who was acquainted with this question, how long? It was our suffering Savior. Who endured many a night of darkness, many a night of sorrow, many a night of pain. And so because you are singing your song to and with the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows who's acquainted with grief, because of that, you can now lift your voice. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. What child is this who was laid to rest? Nails and spear have pierced him through. The cross has been borne for me and for you, and therefore, even through the tears, I can trust that even through the pain of body and soul, he is making me more like himself. Waiting is the hardest part. Whatever the question, whatever the issue, waiting is the hardest. the uncertainty. When will this end? How will this turn out? Matthew Henry says, if we had a timeline, it'd be a lot easier. But then, just like with Abraham, if we had a timeline, where would you and I learn how to trust? Tonight, the beacons carry their message. And they carry their message from the one who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who was brought into this world specifically to die, to be acquainted with pain, to be stricken, smitten, and afflicted, to be numbered with the transgressors, to stretch forth his hands on Calvary's hill and to have nails piercing him through. And tonight, would you trust in that one? Would you cling to that Christ? Would you flee to that Jesus, the true Son of David, the true King of Israel, the one whose tears fell, the one who sweat great drops of blood in agony in the evening before his crucifixion? Would you cling to that Jesus who perfectly knows every pain? Tonight, the beacons carry their message. And the message is that hope remains. The message is that hope is kindled. The message is the King is returning and the victory is won. Look to the light. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, tonight we rejoice in a King who has conquered, a King who has overcome, a King who is returning. And so, Lord, we would find our deepest and our sweetest and most radiant joy tonight, venting our grief, seeking a hearing from you, the prayer-hearing God, and singing our song of joy and redemption. Lord, what shall we render unto you for all the benefits you've given to us? Oh, Lord, do we not lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? Oh, Lord, would you direct our gaze unto that one who was crucified and slain, to that one who suffered and who was raised, now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Would you give us those eyes to look to the light? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.